Yeah, man. Going down like a disgraced cosmonaut.
Yeah, the cosmonaut. The greatest cosmonaut of them all right now is not going to the All-Star game.
That's what I just heard. Yeah.
Just in.
Now, what's the deal there?
Well, I mean, it must have been at some point after the game last night, Ovi took a COVID test. It came back positive, and I'm sure much to his dismay, because we talked about last week how star players didn't really want to go, especially Russians that feel real robbed at one of their last chances to get a gold. He won't be going to the All-Star game, which I think is a terrible hit for the NHL. You can have no Sid. You can have no Ovi. One of them has to be there.
He couldn't believe that he missed the net after abusing Letang that he had to go get himself a COVID test.
Yeah, right.
Must be something wrong here.
Yeah, how did I not score?
I got it.
How does Zach Aston Reese shut me down on the penalty kill?
Yeah.
I must be 109 fever.
Under the weather. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to the All-Star game at all. They have all these different devices, and it's going to be a Vegas version. I originally liked the 3-on-3. I think me and Bill were at the first one in L.A., I think.
The first three-on-three?
I originally liked it. Now, you know what? They should just not even do the game. Just do the All-Star competition.
I agree.
To make the sponsors happy for one day, and then that's it.
Because if you're not going to really play, why even do it? And you don't want to really play and get someone hurt.
Yeah, I think the closest thing to a real game that would matter is the All-Star team versus the KHL All-Star team.
Oh, now that would be interesting.
That'd be fun, but the arguing over the revenue share and who makes what, they have no agreement in place still, so it's like I think that would be...
That would be a cool idea, though.
Yeah, that'd be an awesome idea. I think that's the idea, but I don't think that the leagues will ever play nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they have an agreement I think they do have some agreements. That's why you can't go and play for both.
You can't, but you can still leave the NHL while under contract and play in the K now, I believe still.
But that's good for the NHL because they get you off the cap. Nobody that's any good wants to go.
Yeah.
No one that's playing. It's a good way to get rid of guys. Like, wouldn't it be great if, Zucker, I'll go to the KHL. Well, please.
Well,
here's a ticket.
The coach of the coach of Team Russia, or the Russian Olympic athlete team, whatever they got to be called because they cheated for a million years, so they have to be called something different. But the coach is actually Kovalchuk, which I think is the prime example of a guy that left his club high and dry.
Right. But I'm almost positive because they have an agreement now. Like, it's cooler heads. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I still think it's a long way away from sharing TV deals. You know what I mean?
Who do you guys think would win between the KHL champs and the NHL Stanley Cup champs?
Oh, the Stanley Cup.
In a seven-game series.
The Tampa Bay Lightning would beat, in a real series, would probably beat the NHL All-Stars because they play as a unit.
Yeah.
And they have Vasilevsky and Hedman.
No, the KHL All-Stars wouldn't have a chance. I think maybe they'd win a game, a plucky game there, but the 4 or 5 game series versus Stanley Cup champs any year, not just the Lightning.
Yeah, I take that back. But maybe I think last year's Tampa Bay team would win 2 games off a real All-Star team.
Probably. Yeah.
Like an NHL All-Star team?
Because they play together, and
they play together, and who's going to go in the corner? You know, Maroon will have his say, and the third line's going to have their say, and you still got to beat McDonough and Hedman and Svechnikov, and
you know what would be interesting?
and Vasilevsky.
What about this? If they split the All-Star team in the top two lines being true All-Stars and the bottom two lines being All-Stars of bottom six? Then they could maybe compete with that Tampa team, because you're right. If you just took stars, just pure skating, open ice stars, and played them against the Tampa team, they'd lose, or it'd be close. I don't know. But if you, I think it would be more interesting to have, like, if you could pick your all-star bottom six guys, like the guy, like Brian Boyle isn't still, but what he used to be, or like Cal Clutterbuck. If you could bring those guys as your all-star.
But this is a great exercise. This is actually fun. But think about it, though. You know, the difference, you know, if you, okay, you have point. You have Point, Cooch, and is it Killorn or up top? Right?
Yeah.
And Killorn's going to play an actual, as opposed to floating, like, say, I don't want to say Ovechkin because he'd probably play his ass off, but whoever would float, Ubedore, but he'd play his whoever, that's just as good as the regular All-Star team. Then your second line, Cirelli winning draws with Stamkos and Killorn.
Yeah.
Okay. Then maybe the perfection line against that. Okay, that's kind of a draw. Then your third line of kind of stars that might float against Gord and Coleman and, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'll take your Tampa's almost an all-star team.
Yes, they
anyway.
Are almost anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
It's like, playing as a team. And then I'll take Hedman and McDonough against any – I mean, that I'll take them against any all-star.
Yeah, but I would put, like, Wilson and Ryan O'Reilly that as, a, like, line three. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't take I wouldn't take Backstrom on line three. I'd take, like – Wilson from the Capitals. You know what I mean? I'd make that line three like a real line three, not like a all-star game line.
Okay.
Yeah.
O'Reilly, Tommy, and we'll say O'Reilly, Tommy, and a Kachuk.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take Coleman, Goudreau, and Gord. Just, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's close.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Tommy wouldn't get the better of him. But.
Yeah, it's close.
Well, you know,
it's definitely close.
In any case, I think it's better than the 3-on-3.
That's kind of to bring it all back to
kind of worn it. Worn out is welcome with me too.
Just go east versus west. It was always fun. Did anybody ever complain when it was east versus west? Like, oh, I can't stand this. Fun.
No, I like that.
Were they mad when it was like 12-7? Thing is, no one's playing. It's just 3-on-3 makes playing less defense look acceptable.
Doesn't seem like a real game.
It is for the kids, though. We always talk about that. It's kind of like saying, "Oh, Christmas stinks." It's like, well, it's not for you. You know what I mean? It's for the kids to have fun and watch the young players.
I just think it's a chance to do something exciting, like the KHL.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Or if you can't compete with them, find the Swiss.
Are you saying?
You know, find the Swiss Elite League.
Remember the old NFL format of for the All-Star Game where they would take the last year's NFL winners against the college All-Stars.
I remember that vaguely as the Steelers played one of those in like the mid-70s. Yeah. Imagine they tried to do that. Well, first of all, Alabama would
probably beat them.
Well, not the Super Bowl team, but the worst team. But no, you know, or break it down into where it's the under-22s play the older guys. Make it so somebody has a little bit of pride, Butch.
I agree.
That's the problem. There's no pride. I mean, yeah, Sid wants another car, and they all want to be able to laugh over sushi. But it's like, you know, it doesn't really matter.
I think it's
a lot.
And
in the old days, they had a little bit of pride. Gordie Howe would stick you. You know, there was that All-Star game meant something. Those guys, $25,000 in the old days meant something to those guys. Well, now it's like, whatever.
And how about in baseball where it means home field advantage?
That means too much, though, I think.
That's too much, though, huh?
I think it should always go to the team with the most points or the highest winning percentage.
I think it actually means something, but I think it doesn't really mean something to the guys playing.
If you're on Tampa and you made the team, you want to win that game.
Right? What if you're the senator representative?
I think also it just it adds something to it, but I think that baseball screwed up by making it like that. I don't like that. I don't think that should determine who gets an advantage in the most important series of the year. But I do think that that Gary's got to get on the horn here and get Sid to come, because I think you need one of the two. I think,
yeah, if Ovi's not going to be there, you better get Sid.
Yeah, I really do think you need one of the two.
You need an ambassador.
And also, Joe, you said to bring some excitement. Are you saying that shooting pucks around in the Bellagio in the Bellagio fountains isn't going to bring excitement? Because I might agree with you on that. I read up on these skills, and oh boy.
I think they should freeze the Bellagio fountains. Play outdoors.
They set up these little like frozen pods on them. We'll get into it whenever you want to, but they.
Well, let's get into it now.
Get into it,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, we are puck off, by the way.
we haven't even started. We haven't officially started yet. Yeah. I feel like the 32 thoughts podcast where they talk for an hour, then they.
Oh yeah.
Now we're starting the podcast.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. Hey, it's like the Opie and Anthony show. You just start with Opie eating his oatmeal. You know what I mean? You just start how you start. I almost went to the All-Star game. First of all, I was going to be kicking myself because I have no money to go. So I was excited to go, but then couldn't go. But then no Sid, I was like, okay, glad I'm not going. Now no Ovi, really glad I'm not going. But I looked into it. It's kind of, I don't understand how the Bellagio thing is going to make sense. They're going to be shooting at targets from the fountains of the Bellagio as the fountains are going off. So they're going to be actually in the middle of the fountains, and they're going to be taking boats to different sections.
What?
How long is this going to take? Like, literally, there's going to be like five different pods where you can shoot goals towards certain targets that are towards the Bellagio, and people can line up in the strip and watch. But you have to take a boat from each pod because it's all in the middle of a fountain. So I'm sure they've set up some way where it moves somewhat fast, but it seems like, from what I've been reading, it seems like completely ridiculous, just all a publicity stunt.
Who's putting this on, Top Golf?
No, a FanDuel, one of the big, or DraftKings, DraftKings. Okay. And then the other one that's not usually involved and will be on the strip is a game of 21, where there's going to be a huge board, almost like the Wheel of Fortune board, where you can pick, you know, any screen, shoot at that screen, and it'll turn over a card. And they'll basically be playing blackjack against each other, but they'll be shooting at the card that they pick.
What's next? Keno and the Crease?
Yeah. I got to say, these both sound like duds. Maybe we'll watch and they'll be fun. But does who wants to tune in to see if like Johnny Hockey can score, a random 21 on turning over cards? They went a little bit too into the Vegas-y of it. And again, it's for kids. Maybe kids will watch this and love it. But they will have all of the regular things and the breakaway challenge coming back in the arena.
If they wanted to have kids that do the, like, you know, they drop the ooze on Ovi.
Yeah.
You know, they just make it for kids. This is all just stupid. And then I heard that, I guess with Ovi not coming, someone said, well, why don't we have one of the U.S. ladies be on the 3-on-3? It's like, you know, no one's been more pro women hockey than this show.
Yeah, we love it.
But if you're going to have, come on. It's like, you know. Well, then it really doesn't.
Well, the thing is starting to get...
Then it really doesn't freaking matter.
Starting to get real gimmicky.
And no offense to women, but, you know, I mean, come on. It's like...
Well, not that it doesn't matter. It also is, like, and I've always pointed it out. It's fun to watch, but it's a different sport. And I think all you're doing there, this is not about which sex, which one is you're going to make somebody maybe look bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... The sports aren't played together, you know?
Well, I love the fact that she did the fastest skater.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That's awesome. But put a thing in a game.
They will be involved in those two ones I said. There are I forget the name of the league, but there are women hockey players playing, are doing at least the two exclusive Vegas ones.
That's totally cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But having them play in the game is like, well, then the game, because you can't run those chicks.
Well,
not that there's any JR, the last person to throw a check in an All-Star game. A little trivia for you. Know what I mean? But at some point, then you're really saying it's not a game. It's like Vince McMahon saying, "Hey, it's not wrestling. Yeah. It's fake." You know, I mean, at some point, then it's all.
Well,
fake.
The whole weekend is becoming pretty gimmicky, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
I mean, it is.
And again, Amanda Kessel
should you just make it a gimmicky weekend and no game?
That's what I said.
It's getting closer and closer to that.
If you can't get the commies versus the Americans, or the Swedes versus the North America, then there's no one cares.
I like that idea though. The KHL.
Yeah, you know, Putin and one year having in Russia, that would be interesting. One game, it'd be like Rocky IV.
And I don't understand.
I mean, how much more fun imagine sending Matthews and McJesus over to Russia.
Like, I'm not sure.
That would be so interesting.
Yeah. That's cool.
I'm not sure where Ukraine is, but I just know the way the news is now. I don't think that American sports leagues and Russian sports leagues are going to get together. Even as bad as it was back then, now it just seems like they don't want to share the money. The KHL is like going to want all the money. The NHL is going to want all the money.
Well, you know what? The NHL should say, you can have all the gate revenues, because I guarantee you, if Matthews and if Sid and McDavid go over and play Kovalchuk's team of Russian All-Stars, I guarantee that it'll draw a bigger number than, Nazem Kadri trying to play blackjack on the strip.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right.
You know, let him have his gate.
Yeah, but there's also...
And take the ratings, you know, from ESPN. No, I'm saying, yeah. You know.
Yeah, no,
there's enough money to... And at least it wouldn't be a laughing... I guarantee, you know, because this is a chance... Because hockey has no one that defends it. The people that love hockey that write about it are going to be crapping all over how bad this is. And then the people who hate it anyway are going to crap all over it because it's bad. So this whole weekend is going to be a PR disaster, except for the 12,000 kids that got in to shake McDavid's hand at the kid walkthrough.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
This is all bad press.
You're right.
It's going to be a lower number than the pro bowling tour. And people are like, oh, my God, see you hockey. Blah, blah, blah. And it's, well, here's why. Because it's all stupid.
No, you got to have some real game attached to it, I think.
Yeah.
Now, the reason they went to 3-on-3 was because of potential injuries. Is that right? Is that why they did
it? No, they were like, they were like, how can we make it where it's not 15-13 and nobody plays hard?
Well, and another thing was just that they've been obsessed with in my lifetime mixing it up. I mean, you guys have seen even more. I think I've seen at least 7 All-Star Game formats. Remember when they tried to get us pumped for the Olympics and they did North America versus the world and they did that for like 3 years? And then they did pick your own teams, and that now it's the divisional thing. UCB East versus West. I just think that they want to change it up every few years because it does get boring because they haven't had a good job of promoting a good All-Star game in like 20 years.
The only way to make it interesting, other than going, you know, whatever, Americans versus communists or whatever, is you just put a number on the wall that those guys are going to play hard for. But the game doesn't make enough money to do that.
No, it's like 30 grand.
You know what I mean? If you put every winner gets $2 million,
yeah,
then you'll see something.
Yeah.
But until then.
The host team is getting like $4 million, so the players aren't getting two.
That's what I mean. So, you know, it's not going to happen. In regular hockey news, here's something that's not going to make any money for the players. Arizona Coyotes, Shane Doan's organization, they're going to play in a 5,000-seater. There goes the days of getting $3 tickets to go to the games, I guess.
I guess, right? I mean, that's a small venue.
Here's the thing. It's a small venue, and they announce what I think they've been announcing. They had a couple announcements of under 9,000 this year. And you know if it was 9, it was probably 5. They better sell that place out. If that place has open seats while he's trying to sell the city of Tempe on a new 20,000-seat arena— he's got to see. There's got to be a butt in every single one of those seats for the next 2 or 3 years. So I keep going back and forth in their ownership group. This show's guts. You better sell every one of those tickets, every single one of them, because you notice when people, you know, NHL arenas can look empty when they're not. If this place looks empty at all, or even seats available, it's going to look terrible for his project moving forward.
And if you can't sell out 5, that's pretty small.
I don't know if they can.
That's what I'm saying.
What do they get now, do you think?
Probably like 12, but in that arrangement, there's your $4 seats up top.
And you have luxury boxes taking up 30, 40 seats that are all pre-sold. And so you take away like 20 of those luxury boxes or more, there's a lot of seats pre-sold. Like, so what they're announcing and what you're actually looking at is always different too. So they're announcing every seat sold in the luxury box because the luxury box bought and paid for all year. Those people aren't actually at the game.
You better put a better product on the ice than they, even though they just beat the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, they did last
breaking
night.
Breaking their 18-game home win streak.
Well, with a for sale sign on Connor Garland and Chychrun.
Well, Garland is in Vancouver already.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Chychrun, and who else are they looking to move?
Not Seattle. Jesus, who am I? I'm all confused now. Garland's in Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Where is this venue?
I guess it's in Arizona State. So they're going to have student rush and give $5 tickets. I think the whole thing is a complete mistake. If they wanted to, you know, if anything, they should just send them to Quebec for a year and just let them play in front of a sold out crowd to get that 60. I guess they can't because
of COVID.
COVID. So, you know, yeah. It's funny. I think the truckers circling Ottawa, I thought they just want Eugene Melnyk to sell that franchise.
They're looking for parking. They wanted to go to the game.
Well, they'll be circling for one.
I don't think into politics. I still don't understand any of that.
Well, he wants to just build a new building. He wants a new building to be built, and it's right down his plot that he wants to build on is right down the street, literally from this. So that's his master
from the
plan.
Arizona.
Yeah, from the Arizona one because it's in Tempe.
Building that I thought they were going to move into 5 years ago and play? I thought they were going to have a joint space and they were going to play in the Arizona school and the Arizona Coyotes.
No, this one's built just for the Arizona school. That's why it was built for 5,000.
Because I remember Austin Lemieux went there to play, and they're saying they're going to build a new building. Very interesting. Pittsburgh Penguins have lost 4 in a row, and yes, it's not all Geno's fault. Sid and Letang have made some bad passes. The power play is on fire.
Well, I tell you, Rusty looked fantastic last night.
Third star of the month. They just scored 2 goals last night. And here's the thing. People are floating around the idea that you can get Brian Rust signed for 6 years at $6 million a year.
No way.
If Brian Rust takes $6 million a year, I'm gonna go straggle him. Because as much as I love him, as long as he doesn't sign in Philly, He needs to make more money.
No, he's a star. He is.
He's an $8 million a year guy.
Absolutely.
At least.
Absolutely.
At least.
You could see it last night how great he is.
He's not a product of Sid. He's
coming into his own now. He's really good.
I mean, we won't bring up the Toronto people, but there's guys. Okay, who would you rather have, him or Tarasenko? Tarasenko makes 7.5. He's got to make 8 million. Penalty killing, 2 rings.
Yeah.
I think
he's next level now.
The only knock on him and the only reason why his price might be lower than those guys, and some of those guys have had injury problems, but Rusty does have a tough time staying in lineups, and I think that is the hesitation with him. Because there's no other hesitation. When he's there, he's great.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put games played versus goals, I mean, it's amazing. But if you look at his goal totals, you're like, oh, they don't stand out like somebody you would pay like that. But when you look at goals per game, he's as good as anybody.
He's 100. He's on the pace for 109 points if he didn't have his injury in COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this type of goals he scores. Those goals last night.
The greasy ones. He plays power play. He plays penalty kill. He plays up and down the lineup. He wears an A when there's injuries. And he has 2 rings, and his nickname's Mr. Elimination.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people from Notre Dame can get fooled. They've been catfished.
No, he's 8 mil.
But, I mean, I don't think you can fool them that hard.
Well, know what else they do? They invest their money right. And, like, a little bit less money to him is going to go a long way than somebody's, you know, from Saskatchewan, just coming up from Moose Jaw. You know what I mean? Like, those guys sometimes take less money because they're smart.
Well,
they know what to do with it.
I said on the radio in Pittsburgh today, will be Aaron Morrow, I said, we need to get the community. The city has to stand behind them and just get, like, you know, different sponsors.
Yeah.
Under the table, give an extra $3 million.
Yeah.
Because without him, I don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, you don't want to lose him.
Well, they already missed, you know, I thought Sweaty Teddy was important. But Teddy Bluger's gone. The penalty kill went from number one at a ridiculous stopping 39 in a row to now they get scored on at will.
Well, you do miss him.
That fourth line, his line, Zach is really some of his parts because Zach Aston-Reese, he's barely worth it when he's playing with those guys. Without him, terrible, worthless. And then McGinn, okay, second liner, gets the Bartnick. He's a good third liner.
He's a third liner.
Second liner.
He's a third liner.
He's not a second. Even with Gino.
Gino broke him free a couple times and gave him a couple good looks. And look, the goalie made a good save. Nothing against Brock McGinn. But his hands.
Against Brock McGinn. He's a great third liner. He's not a second liner.
No.
And then Simone. Why are we taking loser points for? I'm going to get off my stump. Dominic Simone, after the original sin of the offensive zone hook in Game 5 in 2018, which is why Ovechkin can party in that fountain because of Simone. What's he do now? Two games in a row, offensive zone hook. Simone, you're wearing number 49. That is a training camp number. You are so lucky to be on that team, and you're taking offensive zone penalties. Absolute disgrace. All right, let's talk about good thought. Oh, Jeff Carter, 2 years at 3.15. That's also known as Geno Malkin insurance.
Yeah.
Well, he's played well.
He's cooled off. I'll tell you what, he looks like Harley Race. He's out there. Terrible Tommy was on the ground. He totally fell knee on his head. And then butt ended Evgeny Kuznetsov last night.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a 5-minute major.
Yeah.
It could have been. I do think he was trying to slow him down and got him by accident.
That's a good way to slow him down.
Well, I think.
Carter has cooled off, but he has overall played well.
Hey, $3 million a year is fantastic. Yeah. I love that deal. I'm all for it. I just say that. Here's the mistress who beat the wife this weekend, Drew Doughty, 1,000 games, Hall of Famer Frazier.
Good. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Gold medalist, is he a 2-time gold medalist? But definitely 2-time cup winner. So you're in.
Yeah. And he's on his game, not many better.
And this year, you talk about a guy that got screwed over by not having the Olympics. Drew Doughty.
Yeah.
He came back playing his ass off to be on that team.
He has played well.
Dominant. And against the Penguins, Quentin Byfield, the big first goal.
This guy's going to be great. We predicted it, but I think a lot of people have. He's going to be good.
His wings, he looked like Lindros. His wingspan.
Yeah, that's what he's like.
He just got to get a little stronger. He doesn't have that Lindros brute strength quite yet.
Nobody has that.
Yeah, but I think this kid could. He's got the size and he's got the build. I mean, I think now they go for the leaner athlete in hockey, so I don't think anyone... I think the days of the Lindroses and Robinsons are probably done. They're like the leaner guys now. But, I mean, I think he's going to grow into being a monster. It's going to be fun to watch him watch. I love the 55, too. Such an underused, great number. Murph.
Yeah, Gonch. But the I can't drive 55. But, you know, and that goal was just all just badassery. Just coming down the slot.
Well, that's what he's like. He's just going to be barrels over.
People. And then Deneau, and I'll tell you, because for Pro Hockey News, I'm trying to give my my year-end. And, you know, Kopitar's on his game, too. And yes, Deneau really helped him out, man. Deneau really helped him out. He's getting less, you know, because now he's up starting in the D zone the whole time. So I don't think any center. And, oh, my God, St. Patrice Bergeron, I apologize. But I don't think anyone plays the neutral zone better than Anže Kopitar.
I don't think anyone controls the neutral zone.
He's like a one-man trap.
Yeah, and that's what he does.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that at all.
That's what he did to the Pens when they came out here.
That's what he did to them when he played in Pittsburgh this Sunday.
As crazy as it is, if you were to argue that he was – as good or should be considered almost as good as Patrice Bergeron as a two-way player in this league, I think that, you know, Bergeron has more of the hardware, but I think it's true. I think every year it's those two.
If Kopitar played in Boston,
yeah, it's him instead of, yeah, if it flipped.
No.
And I wouldn't even give it to the whole media thing, but just think if and we love Dusty, but he slowed down a little bit. Just think if Kopitar played with Pasta and the Rat.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He'd have he'd have like 15 to 20 more points a season.
Absolutely.
If that was his line, 15 to 20 more. Yeah.
And Iafallo is playing great this year.
I love that kid.
I know. The kid, once again, Earl Skakel can eat his words next time he's on the show again. about that kid. Iafallo, he was good when he was 17 at King's Camp. They guys got so many players. The Kavalev kid, he caved in his shot. I thought Dumo was done. Yeah. You never see Dumo land on the ice. That's how hard that kid's shot is. And they're actually getting some the number one goaltender, not Quickie, actually is playing pretty good right now.
Yeah,
Kings are going to be a tough out.
They are going to be.
That's a good team. Yeah. And that's why that loss didn't bug me that bad. I mean, either Kings loss. It's like, well, they're really good, and we didn't show up completely tonight, so that's what happened.
No, the Kings are king. The other loss didn't bother me either was the Red Wings, because the Red Wings are here to stay.
How about those Wings, guys?
I'll tell you, Larkin has absolutely come into his own as a captain. He, you know, he looks like a poor man Stevie Y right now.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Getting physical, hitting people, getting in the dirty areas, making the big goals, the overtime goals, the just playing when it matters.
I love these Wings.
Well, you know when Stevie first got there and it was like he was being dangled for a while, like almost every deadline or players out there that mentioned Larkin, like is he going to fit with the new guys or whatever? And obviously Stevie made a choice to make him the captain. I think that that's given him a confidence to be the guy. If Stevie gives you that confidence,
right.
Yeah. You know?
Yep. And don't you have to listen? Without insulting somebody, don't you have to listen?
Don't you have to listen to?
Yeah, I mean, dangled. I think the word dangled. I think is, you know, we're open to anybody. You have to listen. If someone give you three first round draft picks and the number one defenseman, you're gonna listen.
Sure.
Well, I meant dangle, not like we don't like this guy. I meant dangle, like we're moving to a completely youth centered team.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like.
So he says, "Hey, everything's on the table."
Yeah.
That's
everything besides the youth.
Right. But what I'm saying is, you know, he can say everything's on the table and we're listening to offers on anybody. That's not exactly dangling. That I mean, like Zucker's dangled.
Why? Well, I think going back 2 years ago, we would talk about Larkin quite a bit as could he go there? Could he go here? His name was just coming up a lot. And now, obviously, that stopped and he's the captain. But I do think that, and I don't think anything against Larkin. He was out there because he's so good and they were trying to become younger. You know,
I'm not trying to play semantics. I don't know if I thought that he was. I thought when they couldn't do any, I thought when they were terrible, I thought they might just send everybody to go. But yeah. He had faith. And look at Blaschel now.
Blaschel's looking good, isn't he? I like Blaschel now. I do.
All you had to do was get rid of Mrazek. Everything's
yeah. But I do love our two rookies.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I think I was telling Andy this on the phone. The minute that they, whatever, make the Norris Trophy, the minute they decide they're not going to give the Norris Trophy to Makar, and Fox, or I'm sorry, have two trophies, where there's the one for Makar and Fox. The minute they have a Norris Trophy for actual defensive defensemen, you're going to give it to Sider for 10 years.
Sider's a monster, man. Yeah. What a great, wow.
It's not unrealistic to think that point-wise he won't be up there in the next few years either, because he does produce points, and he has a lot of assists, right? I think he was leading the league in defenseman assists for a while, and I think Tanger's overtaken him by quite a bit. But
Makar scores goals.
Makar doesn't need assists. Makar's going to the net. Yeah, but for assist-wise, I think Sider, he was up there for a while.
And not that, you can't touch Sidney Crosby, but he went right after Crosby, too. Like, the kid's not afraid of anything. He's a leader. He's
a winner.
Yeah.
He's a winner.
That's team.
We got some great young players.
You really do. And that's all without Verana.
Yeah. Yeah. And our goalie, that young goalie too, man.
How can he be a rookie again? He's not getting my vote for the year.
He
played all last year.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's like 50 games. It's like two-thirds of the season. It's something ridiculous. Yeah.
Speaking of rookies, Zegras pulls the real Michigan. Not the fake one. It's gone around the media now. Are you sick of the Michigan yet?
Well, it gets too much coverage now. It was so great when you saw it. Now they overplay it and overplay it. But I do like him.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sick of people doing it. I do think you're right. I think it's like, okay, it's a goal. But Randy this morning had an interesting point. He goes, do you think they're going to outlaw it now?
No, because it's still so hard to do. And you're still putting your team at a disadvantage for the most. Like, Adam Oates, actually, your favorite guy. They asked Adam Oates what he thought about it, and he said it's cool and it's fun, but he doesn't like it because, look at the history of the NHL, and even just these past few months where it's become popular, it's very hard to do. And so, even players like Sidney Crosby will miss it 8 out of 10 times, maybe. It's hard to pull off. And you really have to, it's just not a move that will become popular. Right now it's in and it's vogue, but they'll still, 5 years from now, we'll still be talking about it. We'll still call it a Michigan. It won't become a Zegras. And maybe a few other players will get one, but it's not going to become so commonplace that they'll outlaw it. I just don't think enough players can do it. It's tough to do. I mean, even NHL players say, I don't think I can do that. Most of the league says, I don't think I can do that.
It does look like it'd be tricky.
Yeah, I don't think they need to outlaw it. If anything, it should open up the front of the net for other plays, like it did for Milano. I heard that Milano can dribble the puck down the ice. Now, that might be something that they should outlaw, like a basketball.
Well, yeah.
They say these kids now with the YouTubes and stuff, they come up with these crazy things.
Oh, there's this kid in Japan.
There's
this kid in Japan that's doing just insane stuff because, they're learning to do these puck tricks when, the old school kids would be learning how to skate, learning off of his own forechecks. They're in their driveways with a piece of plastic and their stick just practicing picking the puck up. It is completely different now. The puck skills in the league are way better than they were even like 6 years ago.
And, Lindros never learned to pick his head up. You can practice all this if no one's going to cross-check you in the throat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, still.
It's easy to come down the ice doing that when look at all this, when you don't have to worry about Scott Stevens putting in the next year.
That is really true. For all the Zegras stuff, though, the most entertaining goal I've seen all year was a Boyle.
That was a good one.
Between the legs.
Yeah.
That was, wow.
I thought the most entertaining one I saw was Cal Makar.
That backhand.
Yeah, just
coming out.
Because Sid kind of did that against McDavid and the Oilers 2 years ago.
Yeah, in the corners.
That same kind of, I'm going this way, nope! And then just top shelf. Makar is one of the guys, I don't know. Who's your MVP on Colorado? I know everyone's saying Kadri, but I don't know, man. If at the end of the year, I'm going to give it to Makar might be in the, Makar might win a Norris and an MVP.
He might. He's having an amazing year. Kadri's had an amazing year too. I mean, wow.
McKinnon comes back though, and he's back to the second line, he'll come back to earth a little bit. I mean, is Kadri going to keep us up the whole? We still have another half a season to hand out the awards. I don't see Makar slowing down. Is all I'm saying. He'll still be getting all the ice time.
I don't see anybody on Colorado slowing. I think Colorado's rolling right now, and I think that the only thing bad you could say about it is maybe they rolled too hard through these first, 40
games. Well, at least they're doing it now, not like the Penguins of 1993, where they won 18 in a row at the end and were tired. You might as well win 18 in a row around Martin Luther King Day. The rumor is Giroux to the Avalanche.
Yep.
Everyone knows my stance on Giroux, but Frazier, would you want Giroux if you were the Avalanche? Would you give up anything for Giroux?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't dislike Giroux. I just I think they're pretty solid right now.
What am I giving up is my question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly.
For whatever you're paying Giroux, whatever you're getting up for, wouldn't you just rather have a sixth and a seventh defenseman? Because they're going to need defensemen. They're already kind of thin back there in the big picture.
Well, it's who you have to give up. Who would you give up?
Probably you have to give up, besides the picks, which who cares about picks? Because it's win now.
It's win now, yeah. Colorado.
It's win now.
Win now.
But a roster player.
That's my thing. To clear the money, you got to move someone off the roster.
Right.
So depending on who that is definitely my answer. I don't know who they're thinking. But I mean, we've talked about moving on from Gerard and things like that, but I don't know who plugs in that.
But Gerard's very good.
He is very good.
Gerard is good. Yeah.
He's a defenseman.
Yeah.
Which are already kind of, because they don't
know. Well, I don't think it can be a one for one. It's got to be Claude and something else younger than him coming.
Because they don't know what's up with Bowen Byers. I finally said his name right. They don't know what's up with that guy yet. So yeah. you can't lose defensemen. But let's say, I don't think this guy, but let's say Compher. You're going to. Comfort's part of that fabric of that team.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't see Giroux as a nailed-on winner. You ask me, like, a nailed-on guy's going to come in and, like, everything's going to be groovy and everyone loves him. You say you give up the future. You say you put you give up a first-round pick and a guy at AAA for Joe Pavelski to be your second-line winger. And yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that you're right. I'd rather have Pavelski, but I think that, you know, the likelihood of them getting him is terrible. But I think that with Giroux being, you know, his contract being up, if this doesn't work out, it doesn't work out and he's gone soon. But I don't think it would go so bad that it would hurt. Do I think it, like, gets them over this huge hump and now I like them even more? Not really. But I don't think it would hurt. Also, like, Drew's kind of, you know, as Penguin fans, we get on him, and Joe, we all know how you feel. But I overall, guys in the league seem to, you know, kind of like him. I don't think he'd disturb the room, especially a MacKinnon room. He's not going to disturb the room.
Well, the only thing I think is, I have always thought he's a good player, but I don't know if you want to mess with chemistry. They seem to be on a roll right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. What guy do you get rid of that's going to, like, obviously they all get along. When you win 18 in a row, everyone's pulling in.
I know.
Without the cap, they're not even playing with their captain.
Yeah, but I say with MacKinnon.
I'm sorry, their best player, the captain, is Landeskog.
With MacKinnon on a LTIR, and we'd have to look at it and get a lawyer involved to figure it out. But they might have room to just trade a pick to get somebody like Giroux. That could be possible too. If they have the relief room, they might not have to give up a rostered player.
No, they do, according to the.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
Someone has to go off the roster if they're going to afford it. Unless they get three teams in.
We'll go off the roster, but maybe they can just drop two guys down to the Lake Erie Monsters, or Cleveland Monsters, and bring them on. I don't know that. I think salary cap-wise, maybe it could work just because they've had a good player in LTIR.
We found out in Pittsburgh. Frazier found out in Detroit. Toronto found out many a time. When your team is that good, I just always think changing the chemistry other than a 6-7 defenseman is never a good idea.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just leave it alone.
Well, I think they want him more for the PK than they do 5-on-5. I'm saying he wouldn't play 5-on-5, but I think that's the attractiveness to Claude Giroux.
Hey, you know, you got a lot of cheaper guys to play penalty kill.
Yeah, but he's and the one thing you got to give him, and I agree, 5-on-5, he ghosts and he doesn't score enough goals and stuff, but 5-on-5, that is. He's always been one of the best penalty killers in the league as far as producing on the penalty kill and, you know, just getting the
puck. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I like a team, you know, I mean, I guess he could say no, but I mean, I would think, as much as I would hate it, like, I would almost think, like, the mistress, the duckies, I would think a team that could really kind of use a Giroux.
Yeah, there's other teams that could use him.
Even though I would hate him to go anywhere that I root for, even though I kind of root for Colorado too. I mean, anywhere but Vegas, I would hate him to go because I just want to see him lose. But, you know, I mean, I just think a really good team, I don't think you really need him.
What do you think about Evander Kane and the Oilers?
It's desperation. He scored his first goal, but he's been a bad apple everywhere.
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 Yep. And what do you think will happen here?
I didn't like his press conference. He didn't have to apologize. I'm a leader. You're a leader. What have you ever done?
I don't think he propped the Oiler guys either well enough.
I think he's an a-hole. Keep our G rating.
Yeah.
I don't like him at all.
And
his press conference was, in my opinion, terrible. Okay, he scored a goal. I mean,
mention McDavid.
Well, one of the, right after the press conference, I think it was 2 days later, Timo Meier, they asked him in a non, seemed like it was not connected, question as to what's different this year as opposed to last year. And right away he went, the room. I have a great time. I'm paraphrasing here. This isn't the exact quote, but it's pretty much it. I'm having a great time in the room this year. All the guys are having fun this year in the room. It's a real great time. And right, the next paragraph, the writer goes, the only difference is Evander Kane's not there. But when you look at the rosters, that's the difference basically between them being happy, we're laughing all the time, we're winning, to a nightmare team they were last year.
Yeah, and I mean, the room is already fractured in Edmonton anyway, so they can't really do any more damage.
Well, they had to do something. I don't know if that was the...
I'll tell you, to the writer that wanted to get all up in Leon's face, you know, he didn't throw Koskinen under the bus. Koskinen's looked good the last couple games. Won a couple games for him.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you don't throw your goaltender under the bus.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and I found a little bit more. I guess that guy Matheson has been there for like 50 years, so he felt very entitled. Like he'd ask Gretzky tough questions.
He's their guy.
He's their pain. Yeah,
I wanted to see the tough questions he asked Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne,
how was your chicken parm last night? Give me a break. He has no one in 50 years has asked Wayne Gretzky a tough question.
He has a history, and no offense.
Literally, nobody in 50 years. How many people? Very few people have asked Messier a tough question.
I was just saying,
and even in New York,
he's their guy. Like every market has their guy. He's definitely the guy in Edmonton that's supposed to say something that makes everybody mad. That's his thing. That's been his thing for like I think 40 years.
Well, it made me mad when he said the pissy comment. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I just don't think you need to do that. I just thought that was totally uncalled for. You can push and push and push and almost make Leon freak out, like, and throw the goalie under the bar, whatever he wanted. Yeah. But the pissy thing is like,
yeah, come on.
Like I said, that's like my wife talking to my daughter.
You certainly don't say it in a press conference.
Yeah.
There's some great journalists out there, but there are some journalists out there that just want clicks. And as soon as he said pissy, he went, yes, I'm going to get clicks on this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't trust journalists inherently. And I know hockey's got some great ones, but I think he got what he wanted out of that. We're still talking about it.
So does Kane help them at all, or is...
Yeah, but I think he's literally like a Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, gotcha.
You know, it's going to go bad.
Yeah. At some point, yeah.
It's going to go bad sooner than later, so.
Yeah, and supposedly though he turned down longer term because it wasn't the term he wanted. Everyone was offering him peanuts basically he wanted to sign a 3-year deal. But you know, I think he's going to try and prove it. I think he'll play well, but I think we'll probably hear of another problem. I mean, he already threatened to beat up Jeff O'Neill. What's his name on Sportsnet? O'Neill. Or Jeff, the one that does a podcast with Noodles. He already threatened to beat him up. He said, I wish he played in the NHL right now so he could fight. That was after he got signed by Edmonton.
Well, what would happen if he was on Reeves' team? Then you'd back down. You know? Yeah, wait till Reeves gets him.
I'm just saying, your redemption just happened, and the first thing you do is challenge a fight to somebody in the media.
I mean...
He's already in trouble.
Of all the people that needed like to win a press conference, that was one of the worst press conferences of someone that had to win a press conference. I know, which is... I mean, imagine if that wasn't in Edmonton. If that was in a real city. Sorry, I mean, you know...
Yeah, no offense. I mean, but I don't know anybody in Edmonton, so it's tough to...
Well, we do have listeners, but you know what I mean? But I mean, I'm just saying. It was terrible. Montreal, Toronto, New York, Chicago, Pittsburgh. What if that was in Avalanche? That was a terrible press conference.
It was bad. It was.
To just not take any accountability for all this stupid crap.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about that.
Even if you're innocent of it all, which he may be.
Yeah, no, and the one thing I will kind of defend him on, he did want to fight O'Neill because O'Neill said they had to repair his relationship with his daughter, and the truth is that actually he has full custody of his daughter. So that was something that was said.
Well, he shouldn't have.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring
someone
kids into
exactly.
It. So that's a whole.
Yeah,
fighting announcers is whatever. Here's a good one for you: Austin Matthews, 372 games to 400 points, fastest in Toronto Maple Leafs history. I don't go back as far as you do. I'll pose the question to the captain. Best Maple Leaf of all time already? Or
I don't think so.
Who would you put?
I don't know. Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah.
Actually, Wendell Clark.
You know what's funny is he did it, but he started with Calgary, I believe, right?
Because he's
the only guy that of anyone who ever played for Toronto, the only guy that he hasn't beat to 400 is Dougie Gilmore.
You know, Matthews is a great player. He's great. I just like some of those older leagues.
Wendell Clark. I mean, he's
yeah. Come on,
he's the him and you know him and Cicerelli are summer programming.
But I would take those guys any day over him, even though he's great.
Well, but to me, I look at it like this: like Gilmore finished what I think he's like 17th in career points. He's in the top 20. Matthews is definitely, unless he gets hurt, going to finish top 10. And that's something that's been interesting this year is that Ovi and Sid keep sliding further and further up. They're going to be top 10 in the next year and a half.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think Matthews will end up piling more points.
Oh, I do too. I do too. But I just always love Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. If Matthews would happen to win, he'll be remembered. He's better than Sundin already, right?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And Gilmore is more like a flash. I mean, I'm not knocking Dougie whatsoever. I just think it's more like a flash because he's played in other teams.
And he played for a long time. And he piled a lot of points with other teams, not just Toronto. Yeah. It's a good question.
Wendell's Wendell, though. I think Wendell might still be my favorite leaf. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. Speaking of, we're getting back to the clinically underpaid, or whatever the word would be, Jordan Greenway. What does Bill Guerin have on this poor kid? 3 years at $3 million a year. How was Greenway only making $3 million a year?
Was he UFA or RFA?
That I don't know.
I think he might have been RFA, and it's just one of those things where do you go to arbitration or you just take it?
I think you go to arbitration.
Yeah, well.
He's definitely worth more than $3 million a year.
Yeah,
I would say
or
so.
Or even if he plays next year for less, someone's going to pay him.
Well, Alan Walsh does not sound like he's his agent because whoever his agent is kind of might have dropped the ball there. Because I agree with you, it seems like more, but this is obviously a bridge deal to get him to free agency to UFA. It seems low.
It seems criminally low.
But they're doing weird.
I hope Rust. I hope Rust. It is Rusty's agent. I don't know.
If they gave him a big signing bonus up front, which they do now, sometimes players like more money now than more money over a lapsed period of time. But I don't know.
Claude Julien fell on the ice at the Olympic. He's injured. So Colleton, the guy that got canned in the sweep out of Chicago Blackhawk land, is now going to coach Jeremy Colleton. You think Julien just saw the photos of like when you land in China, what it looks like?
I think he might have. Yeah,
he just took
a dive.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see that photo? Walking the Olympics, it looked like you were like going on a space shuttle. Even NASA doesn't even look like that. I don't know. Who the hell wants to go play there? I think the NHL players are thinking they're lucky stars. They didn't have to do that.
Probably
now.
Are, yeah.
I think
yeah.
I think the guys that have had a gold medal are happy. I think the guys without a gold medal, like Marchand, is obviously, I think, still stewing about it. But and I think Ovi probably would like to be there, and same with Gino. But they're not going to make us think.
Yeah, I mean, they should just make the Olympics – because all the money is from like the free countries, right? Well, I guess now the oil money, all the Saudi companies have money.
I don't know.
Excuse me. I'm thinking, where can they just put the Olympics every year? And it's like, you want to come to them or not? Because they're never going to.
But then lose all the money of building the huge buildings and they'll never use again and all that stuff. They make a whole bunch of money off of creating these Olympic villages and stadiums and then they let them rot. None of them end up looking good.
How do you think the American and Canadian teams they are sending are going to do?
Well, the Canadians are gonna win I guess Russia's gonna win because they're gonna have these KHL All-Star team there, right?
Well, yeah. From what I've looked at the rosters, and I haven't recognized a lot of the Russian players, but on the U.S. and Canadian rosters, I can't remember the names here, but it's a lot of guys that are a year or two removed playing pro, and then also their best World Junior players that are over 20 or so. Like Bedard's not going, but that McTavish. He's going. So it's going
to
be.
He's a young kid, but he's not going to be able to play against the 30-year-old guys from the KHL.
No, but I'm not sure. You're right. Russia's got to be the favorite, but I think Canada and USA will have good teams, and I think that poor Sweden and Finland, it's going to be rough. It's going to be pretty rough.
I think it's all ridiculous to even have them now. I really do. I mean, the way it's set up, like, and I'll tell you, getting back to the Canadian thing, watching those games in the empty arenas is ludicrous. Now that we don't have to.
I turn them off. I won't watch a game in an empty arena. I'm done with it.
I don't understand that. Canada's still scared up there? Is that the problem?
That's why they've got the truckers out there.
Well, you know, because they just didn't get enough shots. There's only 30 million people. That's Chicago metro area. How do they not have everyone have their shots yet? That's still a thing there. Like, well, it's like, well, everyone has to be.
Really?
Well, their boosters aren't done yet. And unlike America, that to do everything there, you need the booster too. Everything needs to be perfect. And it takes them longer to get the shot. I don't know how that works. If they, you know, if they're in like Moose Jaw, just taking carts.
Instead of building a blackjack table on top of the Bellagio, Bettman should have sent a bunch of shots up to Canada.
Yeah, good point.
You'd think
if he went to revenue.
You'd think, but you know,
what a bunch of crap. Oh, Sergei Zubov, number 56 in the rafters of the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
Well, why not?
The Zubov for Kevin Hatcher remains an infamy in Penguin lore.
Bad trade.
Hatcher, great guy to go to happy hour with. Not so good in the power play. No.
Not like Zubov.
Zubov was great. And how about Hank got retired,
too? Teeing up Hank. I can't believe they didn't win that game for Hank. The Wild really just crushing that party.
I would have loved to have been there. I was at Hank's first game ever in the Meadowlands, 2-1 loss to the Devils. Rafalski scored the game-winning goal in overtime. Hank's first game, I just remember I was sitting near him, and that one kind of got to me. That was one of the first non-Penguin jersey raisings where I was like, yeah, I felt a little upset. I really did.
Yeah, it's weird seeing Hank go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of love. Another guy, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Who were we talking about last week, the one goaltender? They said, well, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, he's a longer line there. Oh, was it?
I think Rask is, we're talking about Rask?
Rask.
Yeah, he's not getting in. No way.
Or maybe people say that about Rene? Like, excuse me?
No.
Yeah.
If Brasso, was it Ozzie? The goaltender back in the day for the Blues.
Ozzie, maybe, right? Do you think?
No, I'm saying Ozzie before Rene and Rask.
Yeah.
Barrasso before Rene, Rask, and Ozzie.
Because we're leaving out guys that have Calders, have Cups, and have Vesnas to put in, you know, Rask. It just seems crazy to me.
So it's Hank. Yeah. So because Hank now.
Okay. Hank for sure.
No, I'm saying, but okay, so whenever the years come up, it's going to be Hank's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Flower's going to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then,
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
I mean, if you're waiting by the phone, Pekka Rene, you can go do some chores.
No, but you know what? Rene will be one of those names where people throw in. Could it be this year? But I don't think he ever gets in. I really, and nothing against him. He was a fantastic goalie, but it's the Hall of Fame, not Hall of. You were really, really,
I
really
agree.
Good.
I agree.
100%. 100%. Nothing. This is a knock. Not a knock on Rene whatsoever.
Not the fact
at all.
You're in
not
the conversation means you were unbelievable.
He was a very good goalie, but
excellent goaltender. And I think Rask had a better chance of if he never came back than this now.
And again, Rask was a great goalie. He just never got across the hump, and the career wasn't quite as long. Like, he didn't pass enough benchmarks, I don't think.
No, I not at all.
Yeah.
I would put Rene in before Rask.
Yeah. Well, if Rask played in Florida, would Rask be in the conversation? But if you're on an Original Six team, you get
I think there's an argument to be made to put Bobrovsky in before Rask.
Yeah, well, let's see what he's not even done yet. I mean, he's got a while to go, so let's see what he does.
Two Vezinas.
Yeah, I think
Rask did not win that cup. That was cab driver Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
no, you're right.
I'm debating against it. I'm just saying.
Like, no, you're right. I'm agreeing with all this, and like I'm saying, if he wasn't in a major hockey market, would he get as much looks.
Oh, here's one. Here's another one. Here's the one we forgot. Our buddy from the Kings. He's going in.
Oh, he's going in.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so there's another guy going in way ahead.
Way ahead. Because
quickie.
Nothing against those Kings teams. They're your mistresses, but Quick is the reason they won those.
And
cups.
A couple.
You can hate him. He still got two cups.
But not only got two cups, I think that he was the most. I would have given the Conn Smythe both. He was amazing.
Oh, when he was in his zone, he was really good.
And you know, honestly, he's not done either. So,
yeah.
You know, he could add to the.
No, heart. He's in.
Yeah.
He's
so in. That's another guy.
Yeah.
Ahead. I'm losing my mind. So we'll move on.
And Luongo got in last year, right?
He's in. That's the one I was going to ask. Yeah, okay, is Luongo
in
already?
He's in. Yeah.
Okay.
He was a first ballot or two. He's got to go.
Yeah, it's funny. Now there's goaltenders getting in. Before you had to be, you had to be Tony Esposito to get in. Now there's a few.
Borderline. Right? Yeah.
Not even, but just there's more people getting let in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dryden and Esposito were the end of the era of we're the two best, and it's not even close. And then now there's every team has at least one goalie. You're like, he's pretty good. For a long time, it was like, man, they got nothing back there, some teams.
We used to say that about Grubauer and Kemper, and now it's like.
Yeah, Grubauer, man. Poor Seattle.
The national media is finally catching up with me about how horrible Dave Haxtell is, though. They finally caught up to me.
And as much as I love Ronnie, I just think that looking back Monday morning, quarterbacking those picks, I just, you know, I think you could have had a better team.
Oh, you look at that team, and they're not as bad as the sum. They're like the Teddy Bluger line. The sum, or maybe the inverse of that. The sum of their parts are better than what they are.
Yeah, I think
I think if Sully coaches that team, I think they're in the playoffs. I know you don't have to be a Hall of Fame coach, but I think if Claude Julien coached that team, they'd be in the playoffs.
If they could stop a puck every now and then, they'd be in the playoffs. Yeah. They've had no goaltending. Grubauer was the big get in the free agency market. That's what he saved all his money for, and it really hasn't worked out.
But the Penguins can play down to their competition. And it was that loosey-goosey, and he's the old Flyer coach, that loosey-goosey Flyer BS hockey, throwing the puck around. And that's why the Smith made some killer saves, because there was no structure in the game whatsoever. And you know what? And you can kind of do that when you have the guys that Philly had for a while there. They're going to score some goals and play some power plays and some penalty kills and just Giroux of the world Couturiers. And Seattle didn't have those guys. That's why they're getting killed.
No, I think that...
You know what I mean? There's no structure in those games. I mean, but if that team if they had structure and played a Cooper game or a Sully game...
I agree if they had a Cooper or a
Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, Gallant. Gallant would have... Oh, yeah.
There's guys in that team that can... Mason Appleton can play hockey. Mm. He didn't forget how to play hockey.
No, they got a couple of real good guys.
Yeah. They got Gord.
No, yeah. Well, like I said, I think when you watch that team, there's always a deflated goal within the first half of that game. There's always a goal.
You're right.
Great.
You're right.
We're down again.
You're right. All right. You know what? Hey, Fraser, I'm going to have to switch my printer. Did it go? The second sheet? Does it work?
Yeah, you want that?
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right. You beat me last week, but now I'm on it. I'm on it this week.
You're on it this week.
I got Sid and Rusty. So
I got Gino and Jari. So I always love having my goalie.
So are you? Where's your?
I'm still at one points wise, but I'm tied with Kyle. Kyle Daddy at we're still tied technically, but if the league ended today, I'd win.
Which could.
Which, yeah, never, in the world we live in, yeah. I might already start celebrating.
Who knows? Yeah, we'll be circling.
You know who's been great for me? Roman Josi. Blocks a lot of shots, a lot of shots on goal.
Yeah.
Power play points.
Hey, you never know. The Nashville Predators could make a little run this year.
They could.
And there was your update. The Howie.
All right, the Howie guys. What do we got for the Howie?
Matt Joseph traded his stick for a box of Swiss rolls.
I love
Debbie's. Those are, yeah, the poor man's ho-hos. I love those Swiss rolls. I used to get them every day in high school at the cafeteria.
Yeah, with the Larkin knocking over a beer and paying for it. And then somebody else did something this year interacting with the fans directly. That's great. That's something that, like, the MLB has always done and the NFL has gotten into here and there. And the NHL, they're in this, like, big tank. You can't get to them. I think it's been really great that there's been fan
interaction. Yeah, that's cool, man.
During
that's
warm-ups
cool.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No Koreas. We'll play a little petty there. Hathaway, who's really a true dirtbag, he tried to throw the puck in at the end of the game. Come on.
Cheap.
Just cheap. And then the same game, Carter, the butt end.
I think Hathaway was more for the referee about how he thought his goal should have counted. And that was a weird one, but it was disallowed.
I don't know. When you spit on an opposing player and only pick on fights with little guys and think you're a tough guy, I'm not a Hathaway guy. He can go play with Vegas. Him and Giroux can go play in Vegas. Okay. I've got another confession. No Marios. No Claudes. Skirt of the week. We got two. We got Rue Weedle last night. Just, ugh. Daniel Sprong is not exactly Eric Lindros. And I'm a big Rue Weedle guy, but come on.
He had a rough game.
He had a rough game. And I love Rue Weedle. And the other one was Petrie. I know you don't have a contract. But when your gassian runs over your goaltender, you got to at least look at him. I don't want to fight gassian. But, I mean, you can just say, hey, please don't do that. I mean, you don't have to give him your coupons.
The only thing is I thought maybe he just didn't – he thought it was an incidental or whatever. But the fact he didn't even go over, yeah, it is weird. And supposedly he wants out of there. So
that's a good way to show it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well –
I think that might have been calculated.
I've always liked him, too. I like Petrie.
I think he might have looked over and gone, is that Carey Price? No, I don't care.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh,
but who's the kid that fought Cassian, though? He caught him with a good one.
I think I have, but if not, yeah, I haven't been doing all the fights this year. Because like,
there's too many.
Yeah, exactly. But usually I love Cassian. Bob Probert, a goal in a fight. We got Hagel of the Blackhawks versus Confer of the Avs. They both fought. They both got a goal that game. The double Bobs.
The double Bobs.
Bob squared. And then Stutzel, your boy. Fight and the game winner in overtime. I hope the Truckers had their XM radio app.
Yeah, man.
Every Trucker has XM radio. Yeah. They can't go without that. They'd rather not have wheels than their XM radio.
Yeah, they were listening to me on Playboy a decade ago. Wondering, another job I love. The D.O. Strom with the Mad Hatter and the Helper versus Detroit. Bunning with the Hatter versus Detroit. A lot of the guys picking on Detroit. The J.T. Miller, the Hatter and the Helper versus Winnipeg. Orion Hart, the Hatter and the Helper versus the BJs. And the great American hero, Austin Matthews, the Hatter and the Helper versus the Devils.
Bunting has been great. We haven't mentioned him a lot on this podcast this year, but Bunting has been fantastic for Toronto. He's the type of player they needed. Tough, pain in the neck, little Sean Avery, and exactly what they needed.
Unfortunately, he's 5'8 and doesn't push the play.
No, but I think that he
has. If only
to that
Nick
team.
Ritchie had these numbers, they'd be very happy.
And unfortunately, it was against Detroit.
Yeah.
So I got to get.
Yeah, we're getting the Pittsburgh kid, JT Miller.
Yeah.
Save of the week, Kemper, the glove on Skinner. Gibby, the glove on Prince Willie. And overtime, Jari on Eberle late in the 2-1 game. Korpisalo, the save on Gauthier, the glove on the power play. That was a big one. Anderson, the flipper on Brady Tkachuk on the breakaway. DeSmith against Larkin was maybe the save of the year, even though we lost that game. And then Vasilevskiy, the pad on Wild Bill in overtime.
I got to go to Smith, even though it was against Larkin.
Yeah, did you see that save?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable save.
Yeah.
I still can't believe he made that save. I don't think DeSmith can believe he made it. I bought DeSmith two more weeks of NHL per diems during the All-Star week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
It's totally true. All right.
Goon of the week.
Gino running your buddy Lemieux's kid
Oh, okay.
That was a good one for all the people who hate the Lemieux family. And the other Lemieux family, I might add.
And those chrome helmets. Outlaw the chrome helmets. I can't stand. They hurt my eyes watching those games.
Taylor Hall, the oops, but I'm glad I hurt you on Big Mac. Not cool. Then Eric Johnson with, count them, 9 cross checks to Hall's back. Timo Meyer running Ovi. And then Ovi crushes into Samsonov. Matheson running Rasmussen and resting with the slash. This Russian guy that injured Adam Fox. I can't say his name right. Carlson on Ben the high stick. I'll tell you what, Carlson to Washington, haven't heard. Did he play against Pittsburgh last night? You talk about a guy that fell off the map.
Yeah, I mean, he had that Norris year, and he's really kind of fallen since
then.
Yeah,
that's true.
He hasn't played very well.
Myers, the high heat against Trevor Lewis. Bad hit. Sider on Sid. Cassian, again, running Montemblain. And then Casper, first thing he did all season, running Vanacek.
Montemblain was the kid who caught him with the right and cut him open up here. When they were skating away, I was like, man, Cassian caught one. It's usually Cassian's the one dishing it out.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
had to go get stitched up.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. I will be in Philly with Ray Zawadny and Colin Chamberlain this Saturday night.
Hey, awesome.
Happy birthday, Colin. It's his birthday today.
Yeah, happy birthday to Puck
Off. Yeah, happy birthday, man.
And Puck Off legend Colin Chamberlain.
Absolutely.
So I'll see him this weekend. I'll be at the New York Comedy Club original OG and Gramercy Friday night as
My
well.
First open mic ever was in that room.
You know, I want to do a shout out to Puck Off listener Mark, who came out to the Bellflower Stand-Up Comedy Club, that new club down in Bellflower.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where I was last week.
That's great.
Huge Kings fan, huge Puck Off fan.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, great guy,
well,
Mark.
His mistress got us twice this year.
Yeah.
Our mistress got us twice.
Yep. But thanks to Mark. And I'm at the Improv this Saturday night.
Right on.
I'm going down to Jimmy and Joey's again.
Jimmy and Joey.
All right, our buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. That's going to be my Saturday spot for a while. It's too close to my house to not go.
A couple quick things here. Kreider. Here's the most goals this year, 2022. Kreider, 14. Pasta, 14. Rusty, 12. Sammy Bennett, 12. Games to 300 points, the 2013 draft class. Snake, fastest, 338. Big Mac, 371. Barkov, 383. Monahan, 411. Bo Horvat, 481. Lindholm, 500. Seth Jones, 596. And it seems like lately we've been leaving with, speaking of the great one, here's something. Of all the great one stats, it'll blow your mind. Between the years 1982-83 and 85-86, I think that's 4 seasons, right?
It's in there.
Okay. 82-83, 84-85. Yeah, 4 seasons. The great one was only not on the score sheet 15 times.
Wow. Well, you know.
I mean, as much as
believable, because how could he have scored that many points without being
over? I know, but just 15 games. He didn't have the flu. Just 15 games. Someone didn't check him. I mean, like 15, that's it.
Do you know that Sittler had the last 6 goal game?
Is that right? Yeah.
Lemieux and Wayne never did it.
Huh.
And then Timo got 5 recently this year.
Yeah.
Line A's got 5.
Sittler got 6. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I just couldn't believe Wayne and Mara never did it. I would have lost that trivia.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, listen, guys, great show. And we want to thank Aaron, our fantastic producer, the great Joe Bartnick, and Andy Picaro. This is Fraser Smith. We are Puck Off. Enjoy the All-Star game. We are out.
It's on. There you go.
Oh, here we go. Should have waited to do that.
No, don't worry about it. Screw it up. Good show, though.